What is going on? This is Party Card Sports back again. And say it with me, it's draft day.
Second draft day. Dude, yeah. Draft night, opening night, round one. Holy fucking dog shit. Start off slow, and then finally the Vikings started kicking shit off with some trades. They traded twice. Twicey in the first round.
Oh, yeah. A lot of quarterbacks off the board.
Some controversial picks. 14 offensive players picked before the Colts decided to fuck up that trend. So that was interesting. I think that was like double the previous record, which was like 6 or 7.
Yep. The most offensive linemen I've seen off the board in a long time.
I told you there was going to be at least 7, up to 10 taken in the first round. There was 8.
Yeah.
And I think easily another one could have went, and in my opinion should have went, but... You know, that's why I'm not a GM, apparently.
Yeah, we can say this for sure. Defensive players lost in this first round, for sure.
But that just means they're just stacked in these later rounds. Oh, but we knew that a lot of these linebackers and safeties were going to get pushed to the second or third round. And that also being said, that we watched a lot of wide receivers get pushed. And there's going to be a lot of talent outside of your offensive lineman at linebacker, interior D-line, and wide receivers in these second and third rounds tonight,
yeah,
Friday
night. The big names, the hype names for wide receivers all went off the board, but there's still some very good talent that got pushed to the second round and third round, for sure.
And we'll get into that soon. But obviously, we'll talk about the first... Oh, wait, no. Before we get to the draft, things that happened before the draft, people got fucking paid this past week. A.J. Brown... 3-year extension, $96 million.
The new highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
That came the day after, which would have been the highest paid going into the season. Amon-Ra St. Brown got his payday, 4-year, 112. Oh, sorry, that's Penei Sewell. My bad. 4-year, 120.
100 guaranteed.
100 of it guaranteed. And then the Lions also turned around the very next day and paid Penei Sewell a 4-year extension worth $112 million.
I can tell you one thing. There are 2 Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call them, wide receivers that are sitting there licking their chops right now. Because if $32 million is now the new starting point, they are just going to get absolutely paid the bag. By their own teams, maybe. By some other team, maybe.
But it will happen.
It will happen. Eventually. And the starting point is now $32 million a year for them.
32 and a half.
Yep.
32 and a half.
Because Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are not on contract for next year. And they're just waiting.
You mean, oh, for 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I thought they were both.
They're on the books for 2024. But
yeah, 2025, it's bidding war.
You know, as well as I know, you pay your big boys.
Pay the big dogs. Let the big dogs eat.
Exactly. And you do it early before this happens, where now your starting point was like 25 to 30, and now it's 32.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Eagles definitely overpaid A.J. Brown. I don't think A.J. Brown was worth 32. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think he's worth it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The sun god, ever since being in the league.
Jesus Christ.
The sun god, ever since being in the league, has done nothing but absolute greatness.
Absolute, he says. But let's get into the draft, dude.
That's probably my favorite. Either favorite or second favorite receiver that does not play for my team.
I mean, he's a good receiver.
I think Stephon Diggs still definitely takes the top ring.
I don't know,
but like,
man.
If you ask
he's
me, like,
lost a lot of my respect.
But if you ask me who like your favorite wide receiver was that's not on your team, I'm like, oh, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I don't have a favorite wide receiver on any team. Not even my own team do I have a favorite wide receiver. They're all equally fucking worthless. That's how I view wide receivers right now.
Okay. That's great.
Draft night. Let's get into it, because there's just so much to unpack. Even just for one round, for 32 picks, just so much to unpack.
It went pretty normal for the first 3 picks, I think. I don't think anybody was super surprised.
I don't think anybody was surprised up until the Giants pick at pick six. I think the first five picks was pretty much straightforward. I think everyone pretty much assumed Caleb Williams coming off number one.
I was going to say, let's get the elephant out of the room for sure.
There was reports that allegedly the Bears, two nights prior to the first round, were allegedly talking to J.J. McCarthy.
That was never going to happen.
For the first number one, or for the number one overall pick.
Never going to happen.
Jaden Daniels goes number two to Washington.
Good pick by them, not taking Drake May. Not taking the Drake May bait.
I don't think they could have went wrong either way.
I think Jaden Daniels is, he's old, but like I think he has some of the talent that like you would see out of RG3 when he was coming into the league before his knee injuries.
I don't know. I think Drake May, I think all these quarterbacks really are, I would not classify any of these quarterbacks as generational, including Caleb Williams.
I think Drake May is just Sam Howell 2.0. I really do.
But there was nothing wrong with Sam Howell.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with Sam Howell. This is how you use him. But if you were to tell me like, oh, the Patriots, they think Drake May is more than that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
And then the Patriots need more than that to be successful. So,
well, right now, Drake May is better than what they got. Jacoby Brissett.
No, I was going to say nobody. They have nobody.
They got Jacoby Brissett. They got Brisket in there, okay?
No, I'm also like all Cardinals fans now, you can breathe easy because you got the guy you wanted, freaking Marvin Harrison Jr. I really wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. to drop. But
drop to where, Cody?
Because if he would have dropped five, if he would have dropped to five, hear me out, they would have did the trade bait that I was talking about, and they would have traded back all the way to 12.
Who would have traded back? 12. The Chargers?
Yeah.
You mean, they would have traded back to 10. You mean a team that needs a wide receiver?
Listen.
Would have traded back?
Hear me.
Bullshit.
Hear me out about this. This is what's going to happen. This was what would have happened if Marvin Harrison Jr. What would have happened if Marvin Harrison Jr. dropped to fifth is Marvin Harrison Jr. would be on the board. That's when the Vikings call up, like, yo, we want to jump up in this draft and take J.J. McCarthy. Or not J.J. We want to take Marvin Harrison Jr. We will trade you our Justin Jefferson. You will trade us your Justin Herbert. They flip-flop, and then the Chargers, a.k.a. Harbaugh, will pick J.J. McCarthy. But it didn't happen that way.
No, that would not have happened at all. No.
It would have, but but you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. got drafted by the Cardinals.
All right, we're not talking about ifs and or buts. We're talking about what happened last night. You're going to confuse people, all right? You're going to confuse them. All right. So,
The Chargers drafted Joe Alt.
I mean, yeah, they need to protect Herbert. Herbert spent way too much time scrambling and on his back. Turns out it's kind of hard to throw the football from the flat of your ass.
Unless injury happens, Joe Alt will be a premier tackle in the league for years and years to come. Like
whole decade.
Joe Alt is easily, hand over fist, the best offensive lineman in this entire draft.
I think so. But, I mean, all of them. But a good handful of the eight offensive linemen that went in this first round, I think, have Hall of Fame capability.
Aspirations.
Definitely Pro Bowl, for sure. And All-Pro honors, most likely. But we need to move on. The number six pick is where we get our first glimpse of just a little bit of what the fuck.
I wouldn't say what the fuck. I would say like, they want to hold on.
I'd say what the fuck. You got Daniel Jones, okay?
A guy that hasn't played that terrible.
A guy that's played absolutely horrendous.
He hasn't played that bad with terrible, terrible wide receivers.
His only two good years was because Saquon went off.
Name,
and now he doesn't have Saquon.
Name a New York Giants wide receiver in the last 3 years. Go.
Slayton.
That guy's trash.
You just
name another one.
I don't even know if he's been there the last 3 years.
That was
the first one I could think of.
Name another one.
I think Paris Campbell played for him.
No,
for a
he didn't.
Weeks.
No, the weeks. Fuck he didn't. Let me break down to you. They've had nobody and they've been terrible.
Just saying. They have more problems than just not having wide receivers.
Malik Nabers was a great pick for them.
Not arguing that it wasn't. I'm just saying, the only reason, and I think you're going to agree with me on this, is that the only reason why they did not go after a quarterback here is because they just paid Daniel Jones.
Absolutely.
If they didn't pay Daniel Jones, his ass is
I gone, told on the bench. You that money talks.
And I for me, just one, I still don't agree with how much he got paid by the fucking Giants during 2023 offseason. But I'm sorry, the best players got paid. If you're not, I think it was
2022 when he got paid.
I don't remember. No, because I remember talking about it during the offseason during last year.
Now, I think the what the fuck moment happened when the first what the fuck moment happened when Tennessee, yeah, they're supposed to draft a tackle or an offensive lineman, but they drafted J.C. Latham out of Alabama, and that guy was going way late in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, Fashanu was there, and I think Fashanu was definitely the second, in my opinion, the second best offensive lineman in this draft.
No, I honestly think
excluding JPJ.
I think Fuge, I can't even pronounce his name. The tackle out of Oregon State.
Out of Oregon.
I think he was the second best tackle by far. The J.C. Latham, the only reason I even knew who that was because he was getting talks of going to the Cowboys way later in the draft. And he ended up getting drafted at 7. I thought that was the first, oh, okay, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by that pick as well. I think they mostly just looked at him, 6'6", 340. He plays in Alabama, who's, you know, more of a between the tackle, physical type of offensive run scheme, where you look at Fashanu, who plays a little bit more zone and a little bit more athletic. So I think that's what they were looking for. I think that Latham fits that scheme in Tennessee. Granted, they don't have Derrick Henry anymore, which is kind of weird, but I still think they're going to be more of a run-first offense and really lean on that play action. Where I think Latham probably fits that scheme a little bit better.
And then the absolute most what-the-fuck moment of the entire draft, and something we'll actually talk about a little bit more in depth now.
Right, Meow. Come on, Meow.
Is Michael Penix drafted 8th overall to the Atlanta Falcons right after the Atlanta Falcons sign Kirk Cousins to a $140 million contract the year before?
Just this offseason.
What are they doing?
Yeah. When I saw that name come off the board, I had to go back and reread the contract for Kirk Cousins. I was like, did they only sign Kirk to 2 years? Nope. They got his ass for 4 years.
4 years. And $100 million guaranteed, too.
It's hard for me to completely justify it because you just signed a big contract to Kirk Cousins, who's coming off an injury that you may or may not know how he's going to respond. This is a pick that could go, I mean, one of two really big extremes, in my opinion. I think that this could be a pick that, oh, Kirk Cousins didn't, you know, respond and bounce back the way that Atlanta's really hoping, or this guy's now just wasted a first-round draft pick for 4 years.
Well, the argument is like, oh, you guys are taking – Green Bay did the same thing with Jordan Love. Well, yeah, well, was Jordan Love 24 years old when he sat on the bench for 3 or 4 years? No. You know who is 24 years old coming right out of the draft? Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, it's a little different when you're 24 coming in and you're going to sit for 4 years. Now your first start's going to be when you're 27, 28.
Yeah.
Compared to when you get drafted at 20, 21, and now your first starts are at 25.
Plus, most
it's a little different.
Plus, most of these first-year contracts for first-round drafts are four years. 4 years with a fifth-year option. So you're going to let him start 1 year and then you have to pay him instantly?
No, you get his fifth-year option, then you got to pay him. That's where Jordan Love's at right now. He's going to play on his fifth-year option this year, and then they're probably going to pay him, especially if he has even anywhere close to the season that he had this past year.
It's just if you're going to do this, in my opinion, you take one of the guys we were talking about way later in the draft. Joe Milton.
Yeah, I think that if
what's his name? That's hurt. That came out of Florida. That guy, Florida State. That guy. You take way later. You could have got a guy to sit behind Kirk Cousins in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Travis is who you were thinking of.
Yes, thank you.
But It's just that pick. Just, I really want to know how that went in the.
Oh,
in
I can tell you how it went.
I know there's the video of the owner coming down. And it looks like he's getting in his GM's ass.
When you start explaining stuff to your boss with your hands and you're kind of motioning, you already
know
them,
that you fucked.
You
up.
Fucked up. You fucked up.
Yeah,
I like Michael Penix. I think Michael Penix will be a pretty decent NFL starter. But I also thought he was going to be starting next year.
I wonder if, you know, Kirk Cousins comes out and plays really good this first year with Atlanta. Let's Penix, because Penix is coming off an injury, right? So
slight injury, yeah.
So let Penix get fully healthy this year, learn under Kirk Cousins, and then maybe Kirk Cousins has a good year this first year with Atlanta, and they use him as trade bait, and they get some of that capital back. Now, I mean, they're still in it with some of the money. Because no team's going to take that full contract from Atlanta. So I think Atlanta's...
There was just so much...
Where would you rather see Atlanta go here?
Instead?
Yeah.
One of the tackles right off the back of my head. The offense line is pretty good, yeah. But I mean, they could have went into the cornerback room too. I mean, I know their defense... Hey, when a defense is good, why not help it out even more? Make it even better? I don't know, man. Like, I just don't. I was not expecting this. I'll tell you that much.
I think offensive tackle would have been a good spot for them to go right there, just because it was still too early for corners, still too early for an edge rusher. I definitely would have liked to see them go with a tackle.
It says their needs are defensive line and cornerbacks. There was every single cornerback was available, including a top 10 cornerback top 10 draft pick that dropped so late, Quentin Mitchell, that was available right then and there. Bam.
Hey, he didn't even go until 22.
No.
But yeah.
And
this was the only grade that I saw that got an F.
Yeah.
I would give it a D. I want to give it an F. I'd give it a D.
It just sucks because it's the franchise F, not the player's fault. Like, Michael Penix doesn't deserve an F as being graded, but the Falcons deserve an F for drafting him. Well,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So let's go on. And
the Bears are just gifted. There's arguments that he's the second best wide receiver in this draft class, but just gifted a top three wide receiver, boom, boom, with their already fantastic receiving room.
Like, it's still the Bears. I completely believe that the Bears will choke this away. I have not seen the schedules yet. The full schedules don't get released until May. Now, obviously, we know who they play, but not what days, what their buys, and all that stuff, which, you know, in my opinion, still kind of correlates on some of your wins and losses.
Yep.
But I think that they win 7 games. I don't think they go over 500. I still think they're right around 7-ish, maybe 8
games. They have to play the Packers twice. And the Packers are looking stacked too. So if you think...
That's a pick that I kind of want to get into later. Because that pick...
Well, I'm not even talking about the pick yet. Well, I'm just talking about their roster compared to the Chicago's right now. They're not bad.
No, they're a team that...
Green Bay could easily win that division again.
Oh yeah. I think they will.
I mean, who else do they have in that division with them? It's the Bears, Vikings, obviously Green Bay, and then who's the third?
Actually, they didn't win that division. The Lions did.
No, the Lions. Okay, so yeah, that division's pretty stacked still. That division That's might rough. Be the most stacked now.
It's a little rough.
They're gonna have to outscore some really good teams.
So let's move on to the first trade of the night. Do you have anything else to say about Roma
Dunes? They just flip-flopped. I didn't really understand why they decided to flip-flop. Yeah, because there was no way the Jets were going to draft a QB.
I don't quite understand this. Unless they were afraid that someone else was going to try to trade with the Jets because the Jets wanted to get out of the 10 spot.
Maybe that's exactly what it was.
And they were just like, well, you don't want to trade down that far, right? So we'll just swap. Let's see. I've got the trade pulled up.
Do you? Okay. I was actually very interested because I know what the Cowboys got for their trade, but I'm unaware of what.
So Vikings got the 10th and the 203rd pick, and they gave up the 11th, so they swapped those, the 10th and 11th, and then they gave an additional, the 129th and the 157th. So they gave up.
They gave up nothing, really.
I mean, they gave up, the 129th pick, yeah. No.
I'm going to tell you something that people don't like to hear. Once you get out of the top 100, that's when usually draft picks start to dwindle down in terms of skill level.
I don't know. There's still some diamonds in the rough that you get in the fourth round.
Hey, I'm not saying there ain't diamonds in the rough. I'm saying, though, you have to be really good once you get past the 100th best player because you're like, you have to pick and know what you're looking at.
Well, yeah. I mean, those the eye test. The guys that... You know, you just need some work. You're raw, but we can mold you to what we want. I mean, Dak Prescott fourth round pick.
Yep. Let's get into JJ McCarthy though.
Oh fuck me. Oh god, don't fuck up. Okay.
Solid draft pick by the Vikings. They needed a QB. They got what I'm considering gonna be probably the most ready QB to get in there and just play. What's the word I'm looking for? He's going to be kind of a game manager, but also, like, he has the skills to be good.
No, he doesn't.
You're ridiculous.
Like, okay, to be good, if we're just saying he's going to be good, yeah. I think JJ McCarthy can be good. But he's always had a good offensive line with a good running back and good wide receivers with a good defense. He's never been in a situation like he's going to be in Minnesota where he doesn't have a running back. His offensive line's a little 50-50, and he's got... one good wide receiver.
No, they have Jordan Addison, too. And they have T.J. Hockenson.
And T.J. Hockenson wants out.
Well, that doesn't matter what he wants.
Wait, who they get with their second? Oh, they got Dallas Turner with their second pick in the first. But I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy doesn't have the talent to be good. I think he does. I just don't think that he's going to be anything special. I don't think he's a Super Bowl quarterback. I think he's a game... I think he's a significantly, he's a worse Alex Smith.
I would say he's a better Alex Smith.
Alex Smith.
I bet you J.J. McCarthy has the second best stats out of all quarterbacks in this draft class.
This year?
Yep.
That start?
Mm-hmm. He might have the first, but I won't be that bold. I'll just say the second. So we're talking about... Jaden Daniels, May, Michael Penix, which is going to play.
Caleb Williams will have more passing yards and more passing
touchdowns. That's why I said second. I wasn't being as bold.
Oh. Let's see. Jaden Daniels with Washington.
Who's he throwing to?
Penix, but Terry McLaurin. You know what? I'll go Bo Nix has more passing yards and more passing touchdowns.
Hey, we have a buddy that's a Broncos fan, and he would love that.
And I don't even think Bo Nix is that good. I think Bo Nix is an overrated garbage can.
That's a ridiculous take.
I mean, the fact that all he has to do is compete against Zach Wilson.
Hey, we're talking about J.J. McCarthy right now.
Okay.
J.J. McCarthy will be a solid starter for years to come in this league.
I think after 6 years, he dwindles out and they move on.
I think we're talking about J.J. McCarthy for like the next decade.
I think after 6 years, he becomes a journeyman. After his fifth-year option, because I think he'll get his fifth-year option, then he'll be a journeyman.
I think he has some other Michigan blood in him. He has some of that Tom Brady swagger on him.
Stop. Get help. Stop.
Okay. Moving on to the flip-flop of the picks, the Jets.
This is the offensive tackle I really like.
He's good.
Fashanu out of Penn State, and... I think that this is a great pick for the Jets. He's a great He's a solid pass protector. He's really good in the run game. He's very agile. Gets side to side very well in the zone scheme. Can get to the second level, and he's physical as fuck, boy.
And he didn't have to start right away because Tyron Smith will be starting there for sure. And then once Tyron Smith inevitably gets injured again, that's when he'll jump in.
So he's starting.
No,
they'll put him at the right side.
No, nope.
he is. They did not draft him at 11.
I'm telling you
to start.
I'm telling you,
He's going to start at right tackle.
Won't be the starter.
He's going to start at right tackle.
He won't be starter day one at left tackle.
At left tackle, no, I don't think so. At right tackle, he will be.
I bet you they have a good right tackle already.
You don't draft. You do not draft Fashanu at 11 and not start him.
And I don't know.
Because if that was the case, they would have traded back again.
No, they didn't want to trade that. They wanted a good tackle for Tyron Smith. Dude, they signed Tyron Smith for 1 year. That's all they need. That's all they wanted.
They got Fuga.
But they
could have got at 14.
But they knew that Tyron Smith was eventually going to get hurt in the middle of the season. They're going to start him. I'm going to say week 7 or 8.
He gets hurt.
That's when Tyron Smith gets hurt. That's when Fashanu makes his first start at left tackle. Yep.
Hold on, I'm trying to pull up the Jets depth chart.
I was trying to also pull up the draft chart, but it wasn't really working out for me.
I didn't want to use any more Windows. I don't have too much bandwidth left on my computer. Right tackle, who's already questionable going into Morgan Moses.
Morgan Moses is pretty good.
He's not Fashanu. That's all I'm saying. And he's 33. So they got two old and busted they tackles. Got
two old tackles. That's what I'm saying. So they needed to back up for the next year, not good really God, necessarily dude. This year.
Just looking at the roster, they have 6 tackles.
Yeah,
now,
see,
now 7.
See, I told you. They were cycling for next year. Oh, all right, boy. Moving on. The Broncos select a guy I like, guy Nate hates, and Bo Nix.
I think it's a good pick for the Broncos.
Have rather than picked Rattler? That's the whole fucking question. No, it's no.
Rattler's absolute fucking garbage.
I know. Bo Nix at least has potential.
Is he the best available quarterback left?
I would say no, but if you go off of rankings, yes.
Let's see.
If you go off rankings, yes. Yeah.
It's him and then Michael Pratt.
I will take Michael Pratt any day of the week over Spencer Rattler.
Okay. I just wanted to see. And he's he's not even projected to go till... I guess his overall rank was 98, so yeah. It's going to be a while until another quarterback comes off the board.
Yeah, I mean...
back to Bo Nix. Look, I like Bo Nix in a way that he's athletic. He's got a strong arm.
A winner. Talent out the wazoo.
What's he won? Did he win a ship? I mean, JJ
got beat.
JJ McCarthy did, and he was in back-to-back ships.
Yeah, I like JJ McCarthy too.
JJ McCarthy knows how to win.
I think,
but I'm not impressed with JJ McCarthy either.
I think JJ McCarthy gets drafted by the Broncos if he didn't get drafted by the Vikings.
So who would the Vikings pick?
I have no idea. They probably would have picked Michael Penix if he was available. Stupid Atlanta got in the way of that.
That's interesting. I don't think so. I think McCarthy was always going to.
I like Michael Penix with both these two teams more than where he went. That's for sure.
I mean, it's a win-win for Michael Penix. I mean, he's going to get paid the same. He's actually getting paid more to sit on the bench at the 8 spot than if he would have got drafted at 10 or 12. And been a starter.
And and probably going to save some of those injuries for later years.
But to be back on Bo Nix, I think it's a good fit because the Broncos offensive line is still kind of in shambles. So having Bo Nix over J.J. McCarthy is better because Bo Nix is a little bit more athletic. He can get outside the pocket. He's got a little bit stronger arm to throw off-balance throws. While J.J. McCarthy is... Pretty much a pocket passer, J.J. McCarthy.
Bo Nix was an athlete.
Yeah, and that's the problem. He's an athlete.
And Sean Payton is a QB guru.
What? We watched him fumble fucking Russell Wilson.
No one fumbles Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is a fumble himself.
You were over here all last offseason like, oh, Russell Wilson's coming back with Sean Payton.
And Russell Wilson had a good year.
After his first, 6 games where they went 0-1?
Okay, but he still had a good year as a quarterback.
He had an
the
okay
rest of the
year.
Team sucked.
He had an okay
and they were
year.
Injured out the wazoo.
Now we're making more excuses. Play better.
Just wait.
What am I waiting for? Just wait. For?
But Denver's going to be good, and Bo Nix is going to be good.
How are they going to be good?
They're going to be good.
I don't see it. I see them being slightly over 500.
Let's move on. Now, maybe. To the other big what-the-F moment, right off the back again. The Raiders select Brock Bowers.
This was so nice. When I saw that name come off the board, just a huge weight was lifted off my chest. Like, thank God the Colts won't get a chance to fuck up this pick and draft a tight end.
Yeah, but it also makes zero sense.
Yeah, I don't know how they go draft Myers in last year's draft and then turn around and get Brock Bowers this year.
Oh, cool. You have two top-tier tight ends now on your team. What are you doing?
I just don't quite understand.
You basically have no quarterback. Like, yeah, you would have had to pick, like, Spencer Rattler. I probably wouldn't have picked Spencer Rattler either. But you could have done anything.
Yeah, who is your quarterback right now?
It's Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, that's right. I thought, they signed somebody.
No, it's Aiden O'Connell. They will start Aiden O'Connell. For sure.
They got Gardner Minshew, yeah.
Aiden O'Connell will beat out Gardner Minshew in the QB battle.
I don't know.
But they needed everything. Obviously, there's no first round running back talent. So they do need that. But they need a tackle. They need a guard. They need a defensive interior. All the linebacker. All those things were on the board. Quarterback on the board. And they drafted Brock Bowers. They already have a tight end.
This pick, to me, would have made a little bit more sense if they still had Josh Jacobs and running two tight end sets.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense.
They don't
have
a running back.
But now they have Zamir White. And Mattson, I think.
I don't know who their backup is.
I just had to pull up.
Zamir White
is... Yeah, Alexander Mattson is their backup.
Trash.
And then Amir Abdullah. Those are their three.
Trash.
So
garbage. Straight garbage.
Maybe they're planning something later on in the draft and getting a running back. Where do they draft?
Maybe they're going to do tush push every single play.
With who?
Aiden O'Connell. Gardner Minshew? They're just going to press those tackles in and just run forward.
Aiden O'Connell's not that physical, dude. You put Gardner Minshew in there and do that shit. But yeah, this pick was kind of
stupid.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by it.
I can almost justify the Michael Penix pick more than justifying spending two firsts on two tight ends.
It was quite a conundrum. I have to see how this unfolds. There has to be something going on.
The only thing I can think of is they just lost that one other little white dude, Hunter Renfro. Yeah. Hunter Renfro. And they're going to put Brock Bowers
as a slot.
In a slot guy.
That's the only way
that makes sense to me.
That makes sense. Okay, I can see that.
But it's still stupid when you have so many other needs. A tight end is where you go.
Yeah.
Stupid. Moving on. My guy out of Oregon State finally goes to the Saints. And then there's not much we need to talk about. He's a good offensive tackle. Saints needed line help. They need a lot of help everywhere, but they definitely needed help on the line. Now, I'll let Nate go ahead and introduce the Indianapolis Colts number 15 pick.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. So his last name, Latu, UCLA, edge rusher. I'll be 100% honest. I looked at several mock drafts of professional analysts and amateur analysts as myself, and not a single fucking one of them had this guy going.
I honestly don't think that.
I didn't even see this guy going in the first round in most mock drafts.
Yeah, he was. In all the mock drafts I did, he was
going first mostly round. Because I only drafted for the Colts.
I don't think the Colts or most analysts expected 14 straight offensive picks.
I think that was also kind of like, oh shit, okay, cool. But what gives me kind of some hope is that this guy last year in college was the number one pass rush in college for edge rushers. And he was, for edge rushers, the number one run defense.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna say it for Nate since he won't say it. This dude's a fucking stud.
He was number five for run defense. That's right.
This dude's a fucking stud.
Ran a 4.64. So he can get off the ball fast, get around the edge. And by the way, that's faster than J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's a stud.
The guy can get after. He's 6'5". He's got long arms, so hopefully he can bat down the ball. Why I'm still kind of wishy-washy about this pick is we just, as a franchise, we just set a new franchise record for sacks in a season.
And now
we
you want more.
We were fifth in total sacks. And we don't send a lot of pressure. That's mostly just sending our front four. Now, I do like this pick because our front four doesn't get home fast. A lot of those were coverage sacks because our secondary is solid. But when you have to beat Kansas City, and now we know who's Kansas City just now got Xavier Worthy. When you don't have a corner that can match up with him, which we just missed out on because Kenyon Mitchell went to the fucking Eagles, that's a problem because you got to deal with that eventually if you want to go to the ship, unfortunately. But if the pass rush gets home fast enough, who knows? If, to me, this pick is either going to be like, ho-hum, not a big deal, or it's going to be, wow, this was absolutely fantastic.
Nah, this guy's going to be a predominant edge guy in the league. As long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, he's got injury problems. That's another thing I don't like.
Because he was told to medically redshirt 3 years ago.
But what this does is basically it's going to light a fire under Kwity Paye, because now with competition there, if he doesn't produce, his ass is gone. He's not going to get his fifth-year option. So
it's a guy that I like the pick. I know that I probably, if I was in the same situation, I would have gone Quinton Mitchell. But I don't mind this pick either. I think this dude's actually a stud. I think that at least, at the very least, they still got a dog.
What kind of pisses me off is that Byron Murphy goes next to Seattle.
Yeah.
And if we don't re-sign Grover Stewart, which I don't think we should have,
We
probably get Byron Murphy, which I would
have. That would have been awesome.
I would have much rather had that, because then Byron Murphy and Buckner in the fucking middle. Yeah, let's fucking do it. Because our run defense blows.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I kind of interluded to the next pick.
Byron Murphy out of Texas, defensive tackle.
Is this a guy that had the Dewey?
No.
No?
No. That's Sweat.
Had the Dewey.
Sweat was also going to be an early second, but now he's not. But Byron Murphy is his duo partner, and he's a big old mamma jamma.
Yeah, he is. He's a big fucking cat.
And Seattle already had a good secondary. Now they're building up their defensive line.
They're going to try to get after it.
Seattle can have a very good defense this year.
They'll be okay.
They're going to be good and young. That's one big thing. Yeah. And so I like the pick for Seattle. We don't really have to talk too much. Like, a big boy, he's going to stop the run in the middle. They already got a good secondary. That's basically all there is to this pick.
And now, trading back up again. Minnesota goes from 23 all the way up to 17, and that included, let me pull this up, that included, they got the 17th pick, swapping the 17th for 23rd, and then they gave up the 167th pick this year, and a third and fourth round in 2025. There's a little much, I think, for what they got.
I don't like this one as much for what them.
They gave up.
For the player they picked.
Dallas Turner. The good thing about Dallas Turner is that he's athletic. He ran a 4.4 40 with a 40-inch vertical. So sure. He's got power in the legs. He's got speed. He's going to come very fast off the edge. Dang it. I don't have it pulled up real quick. But he really, when you take a look at it from, he's not really an edge rusher. He's an outside linebacker.
Yeah, 100%.
So he's got to be able to cover the pass, and I don't think his pass grade was that good. It's really not impressive.
I am not a fan of this pick. I had liked two other edge rushers before Dallas Turner. I like Jared Verse out of Florida State, and I like Chop Robinson out of Penn State way more than I like Dallas Turner.
And, I mean, Dallas Turner's run defense, 69 on PFF.
It's not
good.
I guess if they really like Dallas Turner, the move was necessary, because if not, maybe LA or Miami does end up taking this guy. But in my opinion, that's not a bad thing.
I take that back. His pass rating was a B, 81. So
what you mean is B,
but a B. And
it's not an A.
An SEC is kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
You're giving up a lot of shit.
I like the other two edges better. I don't like to move up to get him.
I don't. I guess, you know, maybe the Rams take him at I don't know. I think they could have waited.
Yeah.
I don't mind the pick. I just mind what they gave up for the pick.
Yo, if this was their spot and they drafted that's a good pick. Yeah. But the fact that they had to give up third and a fourth in the next year? 3-4?
Yeah. 25, a third and a fourth.
I don't really care about this year's draft picks, but you're giving up your third and fourth round draft pick next year? That's stupid.
Yeah, I think it's just a little much.
Moving on. The Bengals, which surprisingly draft Amarius Mims, a guy that was also a tackle that was also dropping back down in the 20s and even out of the first round for some people.
No, this guy was never dropping out for me. This dude is big. He's fucking physical.
It's just who needs a right tackle, not a left.
It doesn't matter. You just need tackles.
He has made all of his starts at right tackle, every single one of them. You know how I know? Because I had to look up information and analyze them because I thought the Cowboys were going to draft him.
That's where he's going to play. He's going to play right tackle.
Yep. He's going to play right tackle.
The Bengals paid Brown a shit ton of money to play left tackle.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, they needed a right tackle. Perfect pick for them.
They need to protect Joe Burrow because without Joe Burrow, we saw that this team is no bueno. No Burrow, no bueno.
Which means that they probably didn't get any like T. Higgins talk at all. Because if they got somebody on the phone about T. Higgins, they probably would have been looking wide receiver here.
I think we'll see it later in this draft if something moves like that. But
there was still one top ish tier wide receiver still left.
They're still good wide receivers.
Yeah.
Good wide receiver twos to play behind Jamar Chase.
No. You want wide receiver 1A, 1B.
No, they already done fucked that one up.
All right, moving on. L.A., Jared Verse, edge out of Florida State. This guy's a beast.
I really don't know too much about him.
What I can tell you is he's big, he's fast.
And he's scary.
And his movement is awesome. What is that? What's the defensive move where you just give that tackle the one punch and then you basically just get around his outside shoulder real quick?
I mean, it could just be a speed rush.
Yeah, the dude's in most of his highlights, he's so fast he just beats the tackle in their footwork. He gives him one punch around the shoulder, sack. The dude's a beast, I think.
Let's see. Rams, okay, yeah, it's going to be a 4-3, mm-hmm. and he's going to play off an edge, so he doesn't have to worry about playing in coverage. He's going to be a true defensive end.
And he's going to get a lot of one-on-one because they still have Aaron Donald. Wait, Aaron Donald?
Aaron Donald retired?
Fuck.
No, he ain't getting one-on-ones. I can guarantee you that.
I forgot Aaron Donald retired.
Yeah, no.
Aaron Donald, come back. And then get some one-on-ones.
Shit, dude. He might get zeros. Fucking Donald's getting triple team and shit. But, yeah, I like this. This is basically... It's not a direct replacement. But it's a good plug and play. So, I like this pick. You know, you lose Donald. He's not replaceable. You can't replace anybody like him. He's a fucking dog.
Yeah, but Aaron Donald is also... kind of a surprise, too, wasn't he?
Fuck no, dude. Everybody knew that he was going to be a fucking behemoth.
Out of college?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I just don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Everybody knew that he was going to be a stud. Where are we at here?
Pittsburgh's pick number 20.
The only guard to come off the board.
This one to me is kind of .
It doesn't surprise me. I think it's a good pick. I think Troy Fatanu is a good guard, and he's physical. I mean, you talk about a guy that's athletic. I talked about Fashanu's athleticism for an offensive lineman. Troy Fatanu, and yeah,
they also
Alu Fashanu.
They also have this guy listed as a tackle and guard.
Yeah,
so he's probably played multiple positions. I feel like they usually just go with what.
He played
the
last
team
year.
And then also what the team needs. And Pittsburgh needs a guard, not a tackle.
They need a lot. They need a lot. But I think Troy's going to definitely help their run game. They need to get Najee Harris going again. I don't know if he can. I would like to see Najee Harris do Najee Harris rookie year things.
You build up that interior O-line, you'll get Najee Harris going again. Moving on to Miami drafting.
This is a good one.
A really hyped up player pre-draft was going much higher than this. Fell to Miami. Chop Robinson out of Penn State.
The only reason why I don't like this is because of who comes off the board next.
Yes.
When, once again, you're in the AFC, you need to beat the Chiefs, and the Chiefs' MO is to go get. I mean, they already got Marquise Brown. So they already got one speedster. And they don't have a corner that can keep up with Brown. They should have, in my opinion, the Dolphins should have went with Kenyon Mitchell here. They should have went with a guy that runs 4-3 and tried to cover at least one of those guys. Now knowing who Kansas City gets later in this draft, I think they know they fucked up. Now, I'm not saying Chop Robinson is a bad pick. He's a good player.
He's a plug. He'll plug in day one.
He will. I just think that the way the game's played, especially in the AFC, this was not a good pick if you're trying to match the Chiefs and try to win the AFC.
Literally, I've been saying that since like pick six. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Quinn Mitchell should have gone to a lot of teams, but he didn't until he did because pick 22.
This is
Philadelphia
crazy.
Eagles pick Quinn Mitchell, making my life so much harder.
It just, like, I think they were just surprised. Like, this guy fell all the way. Fuck yeah. Let's do it. So, obviously, was he the number one rated corner?
Yes. No.
Yeah, number one rated corner.
Yes. So.
4-3 speed, 6'1". All right, 6 foot. I thought he was 6'1". I gave him an extra inch.
So, Philly really, really struggled
in
the pass game. And they needed this bad.
My only, what's the word I'm looking for? My only nick on Mitchell is that he played at Toledo. He didn't play top tier talent, but he did shut down a whole bunch of scrubs. Like, congratulations. That's my only nick on Mitchell. Now we'll see what he can do against NFL talent.
Did you watch any like highlights and stuff from Mitchell?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, sure.
The dude's hip movement is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yes, I need to see him cover top tier guys.
For sure, for sure. But the eyeball test is like, oh, that's a special dude.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of special guys. Like
No. Listen. When I say special, I mean great.
Time will tell. Because if he comes out here and gets torched by some of these good wide receivers, his ass is going to be on the bench fast.
Trust me. I know I've already heard that a couple different times that like, it don't even matter. CD's still going to torch him twice a year. And I said, calm it down now. Quinton Mitchell is pretty locked down.
What I do like, though, is that he actually went to a defense that I think is going to use his talent. When he was slotted in almost every single mock draft going to the Colts, it just doesn't quite match up because Mitchell's more of a man corner. And the Colts don't play a lot of man coverage. So this is definitely a better match for Mitchell, in my opinion, because the fucking Eagles like to send the house. They like to play man coverage, and they like to get after the quarterback.
Well, he'll be having to face CD twice and Malik Nabers twice and Terry McLaurin twice. That's the latter two is not as bad as you think. But CD twice is rough.
Is Scary Terry still with Washington?
Terry McLaurin? Yeah. Terry McLaurin's still there.
Question mark?
No, he is.
Okay. I thought I
am 99.9% sure.
I thought I might have read something that he was moving. Whatever. But yeah, Kenyon Mitchell, Eagles, good pick.
Great pick for the Eagles.
I don't think they could have went wrong there. Brian Thomas Jr.
Money.
For the Jags. This
Jags.
Is, oh my God.
Jags. Literally,
fuck.
Trade away their pick, get a bunch of late next year picks and a couple of later round picks to the Vikings, and still get the one wide receiver that I think is
that they were good. Probably going to get anyways there at 17.
Yeah, great trade back by the Jags. Fantastic work.
It sucks. I gotta watch Brian Thomas Jr. twice a year.
Yeah,
completely torch my
rough. Defense.
Yeah,
rough for you because.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I think that Jags prove that they are still buying in on Trevor Lawrence 100% with this pick too.
That's my only like saving grace that I hope Trevor Lawrence shits the bed and then they bring in.
You mean continues to do the things he's been doing?
What are you talking about? He's, yeah, shit the bed.
Shit the bed. Yeah. That's what I've been saying.
And then they bring in Mac Jones and he shits the bed.
I like the Jags' offense right now.
It looks good on paper, sure. Yeah. If they can keep Trevor Lawrence relatively unscathed and untouched.
Because they lost Calvin Ridley, right? Ridley said goodbye.
Goodbye.
But then they ended up getting Brian Thomas. They still have, what's that guy's name?
Cusco. What's his name?
It's not Cusco. What's the wide receiver?
Dude,
out of Jags?
I have no idea.
This is your division. You ask me any question about my division, I'll be able to answer.
You want to know why? I don't.
How do you not know?
You want to know why I don't know? Because every team in this division, in the Colts division, made a shit ton of moves and got better. I don't know.
You should know.
I know what the Colts team looks like.
It's your division.
It looks the same. The Colts fucking roster looks the exact fucking same because they didn't do shit.
Hey, guess what? So does mine.
Yeah.
But I know everything about every other team.
Nope, I don't. I don't do that until as soon as the draft is over and the rosters get relatively finalized. But no, moving on. The Cowboys, they get on the clock and, well, take me through. Are you watching this live?
I'm literally sitting there and I'm like, okay, there is still the guy I want that's a tackle, that Graham Barton out of Duke. I'm like, hey, we can go to that. Then also in my head, I'm thinking, okay, also cornerback, we could still go Cooper to join. We could do one of the other ones like Terron Arnold, all these other guys. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm sitting there going like, not bad. And I'm like, even if we go wide receiver, maybe we go Aiden Mitchell. And as I'm thinking all these things, the clock's down to 1 minute.
At that point, I'm like,
what the hell are we doing?
When I saw that, I knew a trade was happening.
That was the telltale sign all night. Is if it got down really low, there was a trade. So that's what ended up happening. At the 20-second mark, Cowboys trade away their pick to the Lions.
The Lions move up from 29 to 24. The Lions get the 24th overall pick and a 2025 seventh-round pick, so a bag of chips. And the Cowboys get the 29th and the 73rd, which
I like it.
I like it. I mean, they only drop back a few spots, 5 slots, and they pick up another, what would end up being a 4th round pick.
Third. It's still in the third.
Oh, yeah.
It's still in the third. We still do not have a 4th round pick. But I like it. I like the trade back. I was nervous, though, at this point, because I'm like, we are going to lose the Graham Barton guy that I said I liked.
I think they were definitely holding out, thinking that he was going to drop.
Yeah, and so we're going to lose out on that. But in the back of my head, I'm also thinking, JPJ, baby, still on the board. And no other person needed a center.
I texted you, I was like, call it now, they're getting JPJ.
Yeah, I wanted it so bad, but it was not in the cards. Anyway, the Lions draft Terron Arnold out of Alabama.
Yeah.
Good pick. Solid cornerback.
I think so. I think he's going to fit pretty well in that system.
They have a solid cornerback room now.
They do. And not even just a cornerback room. Their entire secondary has depth everywhere. So I think they're going to be fine, whether they play nickel, dime, a guy goes down, they got a backup. I think the Lions are in good shape, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball, and depth. They got depth everywhere, in my opinion.
The only question I got to ask you is do you think Terron Arnold is biting kneecaps?
Stop. I don't got time to talk stupid shit like that.
All right.
He played for Alabama. Of course he's taking out kneecaps. He's not biting them, though.
All right. On to my favorite team in the NFL. Sarcasm exuding from my face. The Packers at 25. Take Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, offensive tackle.
Yeah, so when this pick came to fruition, at first I was like, that's kind of a wasted pick. And then I remember they got rid of David Buttigieg or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yes.
But I just, was this really the best fit? Like, I mean, he's 6'5", 311, he's physical. But I don't know. I didn't really think this was the best fit for the Green Bay Packers, in my opinion.
They draft Jordan Morgan here, And I literally go in my head, I'm like, oh, JPJ is coming to the boys. Because the only team that had been in mock drafts to get JPJ constantly was Green Bay. And they passed up on him, ended up taking Jordan Morgan. Jordan Morgan, I thought, had a second round grade, but to each his own, I guess.
And you talk about a guy that he didn't, I mean, he started 37 games, so two and a half seasons? I don't know. I just, when I saw this, I was like.
6'5", 311.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big cat. He's physical, but he just, I don't know. I just don't. And this one just caught me by surprise. I just did not see.
Green Bay needed a tackle. I don't know if this was the right tackle.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think the fit's there, in my opinion.
Then we're going to move on. I was a little heartbroken after this one because I figured he might get back, but obviously did not. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers draft Graham Barton out of Duke. He's listed as a center, but played last year as a tackle. He could go either way.
He can play center, guard, tackle, left tackle, right tackle. This guy is a jack of all trades on the offensive
line. I did not talk about this guy a lot because I didn't want people to know. Obviously, that's not how that works.
Turns out.
And they don't listen to my podcast, so they don't know. But that's not how it works here. Graham Barton, solid player. Tampa Bay needed offensive line help. They got it. This dude can go anywhere on the line.
I mean, you just paid Baker Mayfield, so you got to protect him. I think it was a no-brainer when Barton dropped that far that's where they were going to go.
Absolutely.
I mean, they got Barton listed as a center, but we all know
he can play anywhere on the line.
He can play anywhere on the line, but he's definitely not the best center in this draft.
No, he's not. In my opinion, he's not the best center in this draft. He might be the best journeyman lineman. Is that even a thing? Like, I mean,
he's the most versatile lineman.
There we go. He's a plug and play lineman.
He is.
So I was a little disappointed by this, but good pick by Tampa Bay for sure. They fill up a need in the offensive lineman
room. Absolutely.
Moving on, the Cardinals. Was this a trade?
It was a trade, but it was from something that it wasn't a trade during the draft.
Okay.
It had something to do during the season.
Okay, so
I think this had something to do. No, this had nothing to do with the tampering thing.
No, I don't. They haven't even done any punishments or anything for tampering.
This was a trade for. I don't know if this was a D hop. No, it can't be a D hop thing. Who the fuck did they trade?
It's from Houston.
I don't recall.
I don't either. But anyway, they ended up drafting Darius Robinson out of Missouri Edge. Solid pick. Guy had physical accolades at the Wazoo.
Yeah, I don't have anything to really say about him. They've been missing a pass rush for a long time, but you talk about the Cardinals. They just need help everywhere.
Was it their biggest need?
Shit. Their need is an entire fucking team. Well, that's what they fucking need.
Well, obviously, but they can't do that.
They need a wide receiver, an edge, corner.
And then they need a center. They needed a guard. They needed a cornerback. They passed up on all that to get an edge.
They needed everything. I think they needed to help their defense, especially after getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Because I think they're still talent and startable, playable talent for offensive line in the second and third round. Especially if you're looking interior at guard and center.
All right. And then this one actually happened during the draft. The two-time...
Oh, my God.
Back-to-back Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, trade up to 28. Do you have trade details?
Yeah. Yeah. So they get on the horn with the Bills. Again, coincidentally, it's the fucking Bills... Trade the Chiefs exactly what they need.
That was so surprising. Bills of all people were like, yeah, we'll trade with you.
So
maybe they were the only ones to offer to trade up.
The Chiefs and Bills swap 28th and 32nd overall pick. The Chiefs get the 28th, the 133rd, and the 248th pick in this year's draft. And the Bills get the 32nd. The 95th and the 221st. So, I mean, really, it was just a bunch of flip-flopping around.
They get a little bit back, not much, though.
I mean, they basically, yeah, they gained ground a little bit on the back end with those other two picks, but I think that this tells us more about what the Bills are doing. They're going to quietly rebuild.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Why did the Chiefs move up for this? Had a theory.
So, and at first glance, I'm like, why the fuck did they trade all the way up to 28 for a guy that they were probably going to get at 32?
Yeah.
Everybody and their mom, if you follow football, if you follow Chiefs football, if you're an NFL fanboy of any team because you watch the Super Bowl, everyone knew after Xavier Worthy ran that 4-2 at the combine, the Chiefs were going for him. That's their MO. That's their 100% type of wide receiver. That's their next Tyreek Hill. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and on record and say this. Worthy's better than Tyreek Hill. And he's going to be better than Tyreek Hill. He's going to have a better career than Tyreek Hill. Right now, I'm fucking saying it.
Okay.
You heard it here first. Now, back on what I was going to say. Everybody knew. And if I knew that, if you knew that, if you're listening to this and you knew that, I'm sure these other GMs knew this. Now, the reason why I think the Chiefs went up and got him, everyone says, oh, if you have a guy in mind, you go get him. No. The reason why the Chiefs probably went up and got him is because with Baltimore at 30, they just lost Brown, who is now on the Chiefs, so they don't have a deep threat guy. Now, I don't think the Ravens would have went there anyways, because they need some more help on their defense. That's where they really lean on, and that's where they end up going with Nate Wiggins. But the 49ers at 31, just before the Chiefs, obviously 32, 31, you know how numbers work. With all the Brandon Ayuk things going on, they easily could have taken Xavier Worthy, knowing that that was the Chiefs' MO, took that pick just to spite the Chiefs, because that's something I would do. I don't care if he doesn't fit my scheme, because he doesn't fit the scheme there in San Francisco, because they have Deebo Samuel. And I'm sorry, Brock Purdy doesn't have the arm to throw the ball that far to a guy. Yeah. So that's why I think the Chiefs moved up, is because the potential that the Ravens or 49ers could have had the mindset that they could take Xavier Worthy, one, to kind of plug into their scheme, or two, in my opinion, just to spite the Chiefs, because everyone knew that that's who they wanted.
Now, I let you talk that whole time.
I know it was hard for you.
I let you talk that whole time, because I'm going to tell you right now that this was a hyped pick because he ran 4-2. Homeboy is basically Justin Ross 2.0. He is going to be a fucking bum, just like the other wide receivers that the Chiefs tried to pick. Xavier Worthy, overrated. Should have taken an Adrian Mitchell. Stupid pick by the Chiefs. I'm saying it here first.
No, I think Xavier Worthy is... Oh, dude, the kid can run routes. Unlike Tyreek Hill, this kid can run routes.
Homie's 5'11", 165, soaking wet.
Okay.
He's going to get fucking injured almost immediately. I guarantee it.
I don't think so.
Someone's going to pop this dude in the mouth, and he's going to go, my hamstring.
Got to fucking catch him first. The only guy that can catch him is Xavier Worthy. Or not Xavier Worthy. We're talking about him. It's Kenyon Mitchell. He doesn't have to worry about him for a while.
This dude's going to get cracked coming across the middle one time, and he's going to be done.
No. I mean,
extreme. No, this dude, before the NFL draft, was going in like the fourth or fifth round.
I agree.
And he runs a 4-2-1, which in my mind means absolutely nothing, because so many good players have ran fantastic 40s and been trash.
Well, they're not fantastic players then. So why would you say something
so many
stupid
good
like that?
Players have ran fantastic 40s and been trash.
So what you mean to say is that there's been only a small handful.
Blinders.
There's been a small handful of wide receivers that have ran sub 4-3 or 4-3-1 and lower, and none of them have 1,000-yard seasons.
I did not say none of them.
No, I'm telling you, none of them. They're wide receivers in the past, since 1999, when they started electronic timing in the combine, there's been, I think they said like 12 or something, to run sub 4-3 or 4-3 and lower. And not one of them have a 1,000-yard season.
Oh, surprise,
That's what you meant to say.
Surprise, surprise.
But
turns out the fastest 40 means absolutely nothing.
But what I'm going to say is Xavier Worthy's going to have 1,000 yards this rookie year.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. Mark my words.
No, he's not.
I'm not a Chiefs fan, and he's going to have 1,000 yards. All right.
He's not even their number one. He, depending on how suspensions work, he may not be their number two.
Who's going to be their number two?
Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice is going to be number one if he gets to play.
Marquise Brown.
What? I mean, he had a case of the dropsies last year, too.
We'll see.
I'm just... Get to the Cowboys
let's be honest here. Their number one is still Travis Kelce.
That's true. All right.
You're going to tell me over all those players...
In that case, their number one is Travis Kelce. Their number two is Pacheco.
Sure.
They're not even trying to throw it to wide receivers.
So you're telling me after hearing all that, this guy's getting 1,000 yards this year?
Yeah.
Would you like to bet on that?
Sure.
I don't. He doesn't get 1,000 yards.
Are we going to bet that steak dinner that you owe me?
I'll bet you a steak dinner right now.
Double or nothing on the steak dinner that you owe me for Tom Brady not coming back and playing for the Raiders?
Bet.
All right. Double or nothing on that.
I'm in.
1,000 yards receiving.
He will get... Yes, not all-purpose yards,
1,000 receiving. That's why I'm specifying. 1,000-yard receiving.
Okay, he will not. There's not a chance.
Cowboys pick.
Name the last 1,000-yard rookie receiver.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's 6'4".
Jamar Chase.
Four, and he's like 6'4", and fast, and also can high-point the ball. This kid can't.
I'm trying to think. Rookie receivers this year.
There was no 1,000-yard rookie receiver this year.
Not off the top of my head. Cowboys pick. They finally get a pick.
I literally, in my head, it wasn't in my head. I was saying this, I lied. I go, there's so many good players on the board. Please, please, please. Anyone besides Tyler Guyton. And then the pick was in. And Roger Dell selected...
Roger Goodell didn't select shit.
Tyler Guyton.
The Cowboys selected Tyler Guyton.
Man. Okay. I was a little harsh last night. You know, straight up calling him dog trash and all that. He's not garbage, like I was saying. I was a little bit aggravated when I said it. But he has played 14 games in his entire career. Over 3 years, he has only played right tackle. He's never played left tackle. Well, he's played left tackle one start. Sorry. He's the biggest project guy you could have. As far as all the tackles taken off the board, he's the biggest project.
I mean,
and we really don't need a project. We need a starter. JPJ was on the board.
I agree.
We don't have a center.
I don't like Tyler Guyton. I don't think Guyton was ever a first round. I don't think he was second round talent. He might have been late third round talent. You talk about a guy that you said only started one season, played right tackle. He was the 263rd ranked tackle in college football last year in Power Five conferences. His pass blocking is only 72 in PFF.
I don't understand. And his
run blocking was 60. His total offensive grade was 63 by PFF. This guy is absolute garbage. I don't understand this.
I'm confused by it. The only thing that's a saving grace, the only thing.
That he's a big cat.
Is that he's 6'8", 322.
He's a big fucking dude.
Fucking dude. But the only other saving grace is, if you go back for the last decade and you took all the Cowboys first round linemen picks, every single one of them is an all pro. Every single one of them in the last decade. So
this guy fucked up.
So maybe by some miracle, they know what they're doing when it comes to offensive linemen.
I just don't
see it. But I don't see it. I really don't. Not when JPJ is still on the board. Not when, if you wanted another wide receiver, you could have got any handful of wide receivers. Cooper DeJoin, you need a cornerback. You didn't sign Stephon Gilmore. You need a cornerback. And at that point, Nate Wiggins was still on the board too.
Yep.
There is good players. Peyton Willis, you need a linebacker. Peyton Willis is on the board. Like, there are people that could start day one, day dot. And you pick a guy that needs work to play your starting left tackle. Yikes. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. I texted you shortly after that pick. I'm like, well, shit.
I overreacted a little.
No, you didn't.
But this is nothing. This guy's a garbage can. Awful to me.
We talked about
the
it.
The other saving grace is we did get an extra third.
Yeah. I mean, so you did get a trade back. But, I mean, anyways.
I think we were
talking about this off mic after our episode last week, where we were talking about first round offensive linemen that were bust. I think you just got one.
He's a project.
So he's a bust.
Yeah. I mean, he won't. There are going to be weeks this year because he's going to be a starter. He has to be.
The only good thing is that he's on the right hand side. So
he's going to play left. I've already seen.
I don't think so.
He's going to play left. Tyrone Smith has only played right tackle. They're going to keep him there with Zach Martin. I don't know who our center is. they're going to play
JPJ. Coming tonight.
So he's going to play, and there's going to be games where I'm going to be sitting there going like, take this motherfucker out because he's going to fuck up versus probably some really solid edges that got drafted in this draft.
And the defensive line for the Eagles, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be rough. They have to go against twice.
Yeah, okay. So I'll jump off of that. His pro comp, though, was Lane Johnson.
Okay. This is a pretty good one.
Lane Johnson out of college football played like 30 or 40 games and was like all conference or whatever. But no big deal.
No big deal. He didn't just play like, what did you say, like 13 games?
14 games.
14 games.
14 starts.
Are you done talking about Tyler Guyton?
Yes.
Okay. Now we get to Baltimore, who we talked about could have potentially stole the Xavier Worthy if Kansas City didn't move up. But I think that this was going to be their play no matter what, knowing Kansas City likes to go with speedsters. They get the fastest corner in the league now. And Nate Wiggins ran a 4.28, so slightly slower than Xavier Worthy. But this guy's 6'1", so he's got 2 inches on him. I think he's got like 20 pounds on Xavier Worthy. Let's see. Only 10 pounds.
He's 6'1", so he's 2 inches taller, and he's 10 pounds heavier.
10 pounds heavier. So, I mean, I like this pick. I think this is a pick that, one, Baltimore needed, and two, Baltimore needed to match who they're probably going to see sometime in the AFC playoffs.
Beast.
So Nate Wiggins. When I saw his speed, I almost wanted Nate Wiggins more than
Quinton Mitchell.
Yeah. In my opinion. I think Nate Wiggins played better talent, didn't have the full shutdown. That's because he played better talent than Quinton Mitchell. But I don't think you could gone wrong with either one. I like Nate Wiggins better. I think Baltimore got this one right. I give this one A+.
Nate Wiggins and Quinton Mitchell were easily 1-2.
And his name is Nate, so he's a fucking wicked awesome guy.
I think great pick by the Ravens. Their defense gets even more stout.
And they needed that because they lost a corner. They lost Patrick Queen.
And they probably
They
probably did have the force or scared Kansas City into drafting up along with.
I think it was more San Francisco than it was Baltimore, but I think this was always going to be Baltimore's pick in Nate Wiggins. As long as he dropped, that's where they were going. I don't think they ever looked much of anywhere else.
All right. And then we're moving on to the 49ers.
What the absolute and
they pick Ricky Pearsall out of Florida.
Like,
he's like,
huh? Who?
A second round wide receiver guy.
He's the ninth ranked wide receiver.
Yeah.
The guy's 6'1", 190. There's nothing special about him. I think this was almost a panic pick. Like, fuck.
We don't know where to go.
We weren't planning on drafting Worthy just to steal him.
We were planning on moving up in this draft, but never got a chance to because no one wanted Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuels. Because,
I mean, Donnie Mitchell's still there. Ladd McConkey's still there. Keon Coleman's still there. Polk from Washington. McKillen's from Washington still there. Troy Franklin from Oregon, I think, is better, in my opinion. I mean, that's kind of a reach, but...
I wouldn't say that's a reach, actually, but honestly, and truthfully, I did a lot of mock drafts. This was a guy that was falling down to the Cowboys in the second.
I don't understand this pick at all. If there was a pick worse than a Penix pick, it's this one. Well, okay, the tight end, Brock Bowers, only because it doesn't make sense. I just don't understand this pick at all.
The only thing that this pick shows you is that for sure the 49ers are trying super hard to move on from Deebo or Brandon Ayuk.
I think it's from Brandon Ayuk. They've already paid
Deebo. A lot of the reports are saying Deebo.
They already paid Deebo, I thought.
I'm just telling you what analysts are saying. Nah, I'm not saying that I think that.
I don't see anything special about Ricky Parcell. He just receiving grade 77.8. Just
sub 6'7", 3-cone drill.
His
comp is Tyler Boyd.
So a guy that is
the third best
wide receiver. Sure handed, but not completely outstanding and is going to be a huge playmaker. Okay.
Good, great footwork.
So he's going to be a guy that can run route, not create a lot of separation, but he's going to catch some contested balls. Okay, I can see that. But
a reach.
This was just a huge reach. Are you talking about his actual physical reach?
No. This pick was a reach.
Yeah, I'm baffled.
If they really wanted this guy, they could have traded up in the middle of the second.
Yeah.
And took him. But I don't know why you would want to do that.
But there's reasons why you and I aren't GMs.
Yeah. I guess so.
But I'm telling you, as a GM, I wouldn't have fucked up like this because this is fucking stupid. That just absolutely bonkers. I have no idea. I'm completely baffled. I'm beside myself. And I have nothing else that I even want to say in reference to this pick because it's absolutely atrocious.
I just wanted to see if maybe I could find his drops.
I was trying to find it real quick. I couldn't find it.
And I can't. Can't find it either. I mean, you can look at his targets, I guess.
Like, I mean, even the wide receiver that went after him at pick 32 because the Bills end up trading out of 32.
He only got 65 receptions, 965 yards, and 4 touchdowns last year. That's a first round wide receiver.
If you're San Francisco, sure. Like, San Francisco could, if that's what they were going to get, they could have traded out of the first round and got
easily traded back
a third and probably a late second or a third and a fourth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I said I didn't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
We can move on to another bad pick.
This is a better pick than fucking Parasol.
The
Panthers trade into the first round because they didn't have a first round pick. They get the 32nd overall pick.
The Bills traded their pick away, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Again.
The Bills traded back again by one spot. They get open the second round, and we'll talk about that shortly after we cover this.
Xavier Leggett. It's probably just Xavier Leggett. Yeah.
But Panthers get the 32nd and the 200th overall pick, and the Bills get 33 and 141. So
141 rum. I know it's not the line.
I don't even know what you were trying to quote.
I think it's like 121 rum. Pineapple juice, caribou.
Okay, it's a song.
Yeah,
that you're trying to sing, but you're white, so
you're white.
You don't fight. But I mean, you talk about Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. That to me is better than fucking Ricky Parasol.
Bro, there is better. Both these wide receivers easily go in the second round for me. But there are wide receivers on the board right now that I've done. I'm not going to say extensive because, let's be honest, I did not do extensive work on any of this. But Adrian Mitchell out of Texas, easily grade him over. Ladd McConkley out of Georgia is probably the best, one of the best slot guys right now that you can just pick. There's so many wide receivers that
what I
like more than both of these guys.
What I don't really like about Leggett is that he's only 6'1". For being 6'1", 220, and I mean, he ran a good 40, 4.39, so he's got solid speed. He averaged 17.7 yards a catch. That's pretty fucking good. So he's big play potential. But at only 6'1", corners now are getting a little bit bigger. So it's going to be hard to throw him the ball.
Can I just... I don't understand.
He's not going to break away.
I don't understand why A.M. Mitchell is still on the board. He's 6'2", 205 pounds, had 1,000 yard receiving, led the Texas Longhorns.
Xavier Worthy went before
him. Xavier Worthy went before him. And he ran at that bigger height, bigger weight. He ran a 4.34.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? How is this guy on the board? How is this guy on the board when people need wide receivers?
There's something that apparently we don't know, allegedly. But that kind of brings me to the 33rd overall pick, pick number one of the second round. That the Bills now have. They need a wide receiver. I wholeheartedly believe they're going to go Mitchell.
Aiden Mitchell. They
have to, right?
No, they don't have to. Because they also need a quarterback.
They
do. My boy,
the great Rat
Cooper DeJean, is still on the board.
I think they go Mitchell. I mean, you can't have Josh Allen and not have anyone to throw to.
He has someone to throw to.
Who?
McKinley.
Yeah, who? he's got a group of, like, fucking fourth string
bums.
What
if they trade their pick right off the back again? It's like, yeah, we'll trade again.
Like, yeah, we'll trade. Dude, that would just...
Who wants it?
That would...
Who wants Cooper to join? Is it DeJean or DeJean?
I think it's DeJean.
Like Dijon, like the mustard?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. That's how I would pronounce it, is DeJean.
The last two picks in the first round, I think, were fucking terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so fucking weird. Yeah. It's like after Kansas City traded up and then Baltimore got Wiggins, the last two picks were just pure panics. Like, why did the Panthers trade up one pick to get him? Yeah. Why? He was going to be there at 33.
Easily. And they needed a center too.
I just don't understand.
JPJ is still on the board going into the second round.
Oh, they could get JPJ. The Bills. Gotta protect Josh Allen. I don't think
they need a center, do they?
It's listed under team needs.
I think they signed a center.
This is just what I'm looking at right now. I wholeheartedly think the second round starts with Mitchell out of Texas. And I think it would be good for not only Mitchell to walk in day one, especially the second round pick. He's already going to be wide receiver one for a team with a semi-elite quarterback. Air quotes under semi-elite, because I don't want to be that guy. Josh Allen has not earned my faith over the last couple of years.
I really hope that somehow, in some way, JPJ drops another 26 or 24 picks and lands in the Cowboys' hands somehow.
So we're getting a little late on time. So you obviously want JPJ.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Let's take trades out. Where do you think realistically the Cowboys could go at the 56th overall pick?
Oh, I know who they're trying to go for.
So who do you think?
Who do I want?
No. Do you think they could legitimately possibly pick there at 56?
Jonathan Brooks.
So you think they're going to kind of reach for running back here in the second round tonight?
If they don't pick Jonathan Brooks, because, like, let's say Jonathan Brooks gets picked by someone else that needs a running back, and Blake Corum's on the board, they're probably going to go Blake Corum too.
Over Trey Benson?
Yep, which is wild to me, but okay.
Let's see. So tonight is the second and third round.
That is correct.
And you don't have a third round.
We do. We have two third rounds.
Oh, you don't have a fourth round. That's
right. We don't have a fourth. So we'll get three players tonight to round out our top 100.
So where do you want them to go in the third round? What two picks could you potentially and legitimately what see?
What do I want them to do? Is that what you're asking me?
Sure, fine. What would you want them to do?
Edrin fucking Cooper.
Would he be eligible that
early? He's ranked 59.
So
we would be picking at 56.
Okay.
Yes. I don't care if people say it's a reach. We need a linebacker. The dude's a dog. I don't know if you did any tape on him.
Yes, I did.
Dude's a dog.
So for the Colts, let's see. Let me get back here. Come on, computer, let's go here. So second round, we get picked, I think, 46.
46.
So we get picked 46, and we still need a little bit of help. I would not be looking at a linebacker until the third round, which I think we get a third round this year. I don't remember if we traded it.
You guys should go cornerback.
Yeah. So by our third round, we probably won't be able to get Peyton Willis. Not Peyton Wilson. Yeah, Peyton Wilson?
Peyton Willis.
Peyton Willis.
Wilson. Peyton Wilson. Jesus Christ. You have me confused. His name is Peyton Wilson.
I had to pull that back up. Yeah, Peyton Wilson.
Yes.
I don't think he'll be there late third.
No, not a chance.
Yeah, no. I would, but me personally.
This little mock draft I have going to just kind of like go for reference right now has Peyton Willis. Jesus, you screwed me up. I hadn't messed up his name this entire time. Peyton Wilson, it has him mocked to the Raiders.
In the second?
Yes. Which would be two picks before you.
So, I think I don't like corner for us now, since, in my opinion, I don't like corner here in the second round pick. If we could get Cooper or Wilson in the second, I would rather have that.
What about like Kool-Aid?
If Kool-Aid was there, potentially, but it also depends on what wide receivers come off the board. Because if some of these wide receivers kind of drop, I like Polk, I like McConkey, I like Coleman.
Troy Franklin?
We could get him in the third if we waited.
I don't think so, but okay.
But that's where I would want to see. If they can't get a good linebacker like Cooper or Wilson... Not running back.
Cooper for you guys would be a reach. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
I don't care about reaching.
Also, I don't care about reaching either.
Yeah. Draft what you need.
Yeah.
If no one's willing to trade back.
Trade back.
I don't even like trading back here. Because in my opinion, it's not that big of a reach. In my opinion.
In your humble opinion.
And it's humble as fuck, boy.
Yeah, I can see that for you guys. If you're asking me, okay, you can't pick Cooper, I could see like Brandon Fisk out of Florida State. He's a defensive interior. Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, defensive interior. Don't really want to go either way like that, but that would be my other picks.
Would you have
anything else that you would want?
Nope. The Colts, in my opinion, just need a linebacker, maybe a wide receiver. I think corner could wait unless Kool-Aid dropped and Cooper was gone and Wilson was gone. I think Kool-Aid would be an option. But I just think the fact that we didn't get Kenyon Mitchell and we have Juju Brents from last year that we drafted in the second round.
I think you're slightly overlooking like Mike Sanristel.
For who?
Michigan's cornerback.
I don't want a cornerback. That's the problem.
You need a cornerback.
We don't. We don't need a corner. We re-signed Kenny Moore. We got Juju Brents.
You said it yourself. You're going to be playing in a AFC side of the ball where they're just going to be air raiding.
Yeah, and we didn't get the two fastest corners on the board when we had a chance to get fucking both of them. Or I guess one of them. It just... It blows my mind. That's why, at this point, you could get a corner in the third round and wait and get your linebacker now. Because in my opinion, despite what PFF said about the Colts run game being run defense being phenomenal, it was absolutely fucking garbage. We need a linebacker and a lot of help
in the run game. You and me are in the same boat with that one. So,
but that's where I'd like the Colts go. Linebacker, wide receiver. If a corner, if all those guys are gone that I've talked about, and a corner like Kool-Aid falls, cool.
Dude, what if DeJoyne's sitting there all the way down at 46?
Hammer time, get him. Great way, hope.
Okay. That's what I was kind of trying to get at. Yeah.
He ain't going to fall, though.
No.
No. But I think that pretty much wraps it up. I'm done. By the time we're ready to record next week, we can basically go over all the draft, our team's draft, grade the drafts, who did good, who did bad, who did all the what the fuck moments. We're super excited for that. And then a couple weeks.
Before we go, though.
Oh, my goodness.
What would make tomorrow, you wake up tomorrow and you feel good about the draft. What happened? What happened
for the Colts?
Yes.
You
feel good about it. You're like, hell yeah.
Honestly, I think Peyton Wilson probably meshes more with what the Colts need, in my opinion, other than Edgerrin Cooper. So I think Peyton Wilson would be better. And then in the third round, looking at a wide receiver, probably Franklin there in the third would probably be, just quickly off my head, those two picks in that order would probably, I would wake up like, fuck yeah, I can live with that.
Gotcha. Now, if this happened, I would be ecstatic. Here's an Edgerrin Cooper, then drafting Trey Benson, and then drafting Van Pran out of Georgia. So then we have the linebacker we need desperately, the H-back that we need desperately, and my number one rated running back coming out, Trey Benson.
The only other player I would consider in the third round and wake up in the morning and be like, that was good, is Cooper Beebe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I would love that too. But Cooper Beebe is solid.
Yeah.
If we didn't get Edgerrin Cooper and we decided to go running back like Jonathan Taylor, if we go Jonathan Taylor, I'm not upset. As long as then directly afterwards.
Why are you talking about Jonathan Taylor?
What did I say? Oh, Jonathan Brooks.
Okay.
Sorry. If we get Jonathan Brooks in the second round, I wouldn't be upset as long as the very next pick is the linebacker out of Michigan. That's okay. The only person I'm upset with. Or Crowder.
Oh, yeah. I do like
those two. That's it.
Trotter. Out of Clemson. Trotter. Yeah, I like him. He's good.
But we need if we make it through these three rounds and we didn't draft a linebacker, I'm flipping a table.
I could definitely see you guys getting Trotter with your last third round pick because he's dropping.
Like I said, we don't get a linebacker in these first four picks, I'm flipping a table.
But I don't know. I think tonight's gonna be just as exciting as round one.
It might be more exciting. There might be some wicked weird trades going on.
I think so.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Because there's people with a lot of picks, and there's people that need a lot of picks.
And there's a lot of talent on the board, especially early tonight.
Those Debo and Brandon Ayuk go tonight to someone, I guarantee it.
Stop.